right. Good morning, everybody. Thank you guys for hanging out. For those watching, we've kind of rearranged things. We've got everybody back here in the shade. Where's Miss Mitzi at? Is she still here? Miss Mitzi, thank you for worrying about me earlier. She said, man, we got you straight in the sun. But at least you guys have some shade over there, so thank y'all for hanging around. Hey, before we get started, I want to mention something as a prayer request, and let's pray together. In fact, they're not here now, but we still want to mention it. Robert Yeager, you guys may know him, parks over here in like a maroon Ford van, was told today that he's gotten a prognosis that's not very good, some thyroid cancer. In fact, just kind of a dire situation, but I told him that we would definitely pray. And here's what we believe is that doctors or man does not have the final say. And so we're going to pray to a God that knows exactly what's going on in Robert's life, physically, spiritually, emotionally, all those things with that. So will y'all pray for our brother with us, and let's just pray for God's healing hand. And that God would just be with them as they go through this. And so, Father, we do. We just come to you this morning thankful for yet another opportunity to gather together as family. We do pray for Robert this morning. We pray that, God, you just, I pray this all the time with folks that are dealing with sickness, but it's so comforting to me that you knew us before we were ever formed in our mother's womb. You know exactly the intricate details that are going on with inside of us is what your word says. And so with that, Father, beyond doctors, beyond man's wisdom, Father, you know exactly what's going on. And so we pray for your healing hand. We pray that you're already at work on that. We pray for comfort, for peace, and for mercy. And God, for us just as a church at Southside Family to walk through whatever life brings in Robert's life. And so we pray for him. Pray for our time together today in the word, that you speak to our hearts and that you challenge us, you encourage us, convict us, whatever way you see fit this morning. We pray and we give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys for that. Well, good morning. I want to take just a little break this morning, pushing the pause button on the John series, kinda. I'm going to recap some of the verses and I'll tell you why I think that's important here in just a little bit. But I couldn't help but think, with 4th of July, it always stirs emotions of thinking of freedom and the freedoms that we have. And so I wanted to talk to you about freedom this morning. Now, I'll tell you this, we know for sure our country is not perfect and we got a long way to go on a lot of things. But I'm grateful for the many freedoms we have, one of which you can look right now, us gathered together freely in a parking lot, how we want to as a family. A lot of our brothers and sisters around the world in the church cannot do that, and so I'm thankful for that. But that's not the freedom I want to talk to you about this morning. Our country is great. I love that. We've got things to work on. But I want to talk to you of a greater freedom this morning. In fact, one that is greater than temporary freedoms, or a freedom that cannot be taken away. You guys know that, right? Like, we have freedoms now as a country that can be taken away in a moment's notice. But there is a freedom that you have as sons and daughters that cannot be taken away. And so this morning I want to speak to you about the freedom that we have in Christ. Church. I want to talk to the church this morning. Do you know what I mean when I say church? I don't mean the church at Southside. I don't mean someone gathered together in a steeple this morning. Maurice has it. I'm talking about the people. I'm talking about the family of God, regardless if you consider yourself a member here or a member somewhere else. If you believe in Jesus Christ this morning, if you're flying in a helicopter above us, hello, or if you're driving down the street, if you're gathered here this morning, or if you're grabbing my knife as I teach, whatever, if you're a part of the family of God, you're a part of the church. And so when I say church this morning, pay no attention to the church that your membership belongs. I'm talking to the people of God. There are so many in the church today, though, that find themselves in bondage, the opposite of freedom. It could be bondage to sin. It could be bondage to fear of all the things that are going on, bondage to a political party or system, worry, anxiety, pride, religion, or maybe even the good work scale. Some of you this morning, by the way, I'm not going to call anybody out, but some of you this morning even feel like that you have to be in a certain condition before you can come in this parking lot. Let me just disarm that from the enemy. I don't care if you come hung over. there's a better way. I don't care if you come high, there's a better way. I don't care if you come from a last night of just all kind of debauchery we don't even want to mention, there's a better way. But you are welcome in this place, and you're going to be encountered with the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus, okay? You have a seat at the table. That's bigger than the church at Southside. That is the Lord's table. You always have a seat at the table. Some of us, though, are in bondage to religion or feeling like we've got to tip the scales. I got to do enough good before I'm worthy. Let me tell you straight up, if that was the case, I would not be standing here with a microphone. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough except for the blood of Jesus. Can I get an amen on that? Was that directed at me? Amen. Yeah, amen. All right. And so we see bondage, and you can honestly be in bondage to anything. You can even be in bondage to good works. Think about that, that you are so tied to a system that makes you feel you have to compete for and earn God's love. Let me tell you, you cannot make him love you any more than sending his son to die for you in your place. Can't happen. He loves you just as much as he does anyone in this parking lot. I could stand here with this Bible open in this parking lot until Jesus comes, and your night full of debauchery last night, if you had it, he loves you just as much as he does me standing here with this Bible open. You get what I'm saying this morning? That is the church, but the church can find itself in bondage. Before I ever get to recapping John, I want to fast forward in John because it was a verse I shared with a few friends this week that has been so encouraging to me this week. Two beautiful words start in John 14:1. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled." All right? Let not. I want you to know that "let not" are some of the most beautiful words that were spoken to me this week. Other translations say, don't let your heart be troubled. The Message puts it this way, don't let this throw you. Does anybody feel thrown for a loop right now in our world? It's chaotic, right? It's kind of a crazy just system that we're in, and it seems like every time you, God help you if you're watching the news right now, every time you turn on the news, there's something else of brokenness and need of redemption in our city, in our county, in our state, in our country, and in our world. And we can easily find ourselves in bondage, but Jesus says, let not, don't let this throw you. Here's the good news this morning before I ever pray and start us out in the scripture this morning. If Jesus says, don't let not, it means that you have the power to make that possible. He would not have commanded you something that you cannot do. So this morning, I want you to take courage in this. This is what God spoke to me this week. Is that the worry that I have, the fear, the anxiety, the things that well up, the pride, when I feel that just raising up inside of me, God has given me dominion over my own heart to stop it in its tracks. Don't let not. Don't let this throw you. How do we do that? We run from self and run to him. Will you go with me in prayer this morning as we think about that, as we think about the concept of being in bondage and freedom in Christ, that Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Will you pray with me this morning? He continues on in that and says, if you believe in God, believe also in me. So Jesus, we trust you at your word this morning. And we say that if we're in bondage in anything, if we come this morning and we find ourselves in bondage to sin, we find ourselves in bondage to good works, political systems, man's way of doing things, pride, fear, worry, anxiety, any of these things, we pray that the words of Jesus speak true in our heart this morning. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let's take that back this morning. Take it away from the enemy and give it to you, Jesus. We lay that worry, that fear, that pride, that anxiety, that stress, the fear of the unknown, we lay it at your feet and say, we choose to follow you. We choose to give it to you. And so, Jesus, with that in mind, as we look at freedom in you, help speak that over our hearts wherever we find ourselves this morning in that scale of bondage. We pray this in the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen. So here's what freedom in Christ, before I tell you what I think it means, I want to tell you what I think it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that you can just do anything you want. We are still subject to the will of God. If you know Him, if you're a part of that church that I addressed earlier, then you are to follow God's will in your life. What that means is we sometimes stray outside that will. Anybody want to agree that they do that? Or I'm the only one paddling in that canoe down that stream. I bet you're paddling with me, right? Chris, wave me down. About, yep, I got you. All right, so when we're in that, we can stray outside it, but let me tell you this. If you're truly a follower of Christ, you can't stay there and be comfortable long. He's going to bring you back on in, right? There's grace for that, and I'm grateful. But freedom in Christ doesn't just mean, well, I'm just going to go out and do whatever I want, and His grace will cover it. While His grace will cover it, you cannot stay out of His will too long. But I want to tell you this morning, here's why I talk about it. 4th of July was just a reminder. That freedom is so immaterial to the freedom that is found in Christ. All right? As I think about freedom, though, I think about how very essential it was to Jesus' earthly ministry. Listen to a couple of verses. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Listen to that. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. If you're a believer this morning, you have the Spirit of God indwelling you, and so it means that we ought to be some of the most free people you ever see. That way, when it comes to the church, the people of the world ought to be able to look to the church and say, that's some free people right there. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. See if you've heard this one. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Anyone been set free this morning from sin? From your own way, Jesus sets free. You are free indeed. But I want to share with you briefly this morning the one that is the most telling, the one that is both spoken in the Old Testament and the New Testament. One that if you honestly were to take in today's world and break down a company and say their mission statement, their core statement, that if Jesus had an essential core statement to what He came to do, I believe it can be summed up in this Old Testament passage and New Testament passage. I want to give you context of where we're at. So Jesus is in Luke here, where I'm going to read this morning, and Jesus is going to gather together with God's people. And there was going to be a reading of Scripture, and Jesus was going to be the one who was going to read this day. He was given the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, which is where this passage was mentioned in the Old Testament. And it was given to him, and it says this in Luke chapter 4. It says that the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, meaning Jesus. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. So I want you to picture that. Jesus didn't have the handy Bible that we have, chapter and verse, was given a scroll, unrolls it, and it says that he finds the place where this is written. Now, I love this. The Word was in the Word and finding His place in the Word, right? You get it? This is the one who breathed this Word. He's very familiar with this. He could have read anything, but he comes to a place, and here is what he says at the beginning of his earthly ministry. If you want to know where freedom reigns in Jesus' heart, where it is in his mission, his calling, his core beliefs of why he came, it was to set us free. Listen to this. He finds the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then listen to the rest of the story. It says, He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. It said, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on Him, and He began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, this is what I came to do. I want to read to you, just break it down just a little bit. Proclaim the good news to the poor. Are you glad that good news has been proclaimed to you, that you know about Jesus' grace and His saving faith in Him, this saving mercy, this compassion that He has on His call to repentance, that when we do and when we believe, that there is good news to those who are poor. Proclaim liberty to the captives. This morning, I want to tell you, if you find yourself an oppression of any kind of way, be it those things I mentioned earlier, be it fear, religion, pride, any of those things, stress or worry, he is here to proclaim liberty over your heart this morning. By the way, as good as our country has tried in some areas and as far as we have to go in others, Jesus' liberty is better than any liberty that's ever been founded here on earth. I promise you that. Recover sight to the blind. Now, I want to tell you here, this is more than just physical. Some of you here this morning are seeing things a little differently than what they are. He's not just talking about in a physical sense here, but a spiritual blindness, one that is blind to their own ways, who is trying to say, I'll just make it work in the end. I'll do enough good, or I'll do all these things, and maybe one day the scales will tip. He's here to bring sight to the blind, to set to liberty those who are oppressed. Again, any oppression from the enemy or light other than that, that is on your heart or on your life, he is here to bring liberty, to bring freedom, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I want to make this personal this morning. I believe that Jesus came to set you free. Whatever you find yourself in bondage to this morning, you don't have to be bonded to it any longer. He is here to break the chains of that bondage. He is here to offer freedom still today. But you must choose. You see, I believe that freedom is a choice. You can choose to be free, or you can choose to remain bondage to whatever we mentioned earlier. The call is there, and you must choose. Here's my take on it, that Jesus offers true love, but true love must give you a choice. It's got to give you a choice. You have to have the choice to accept or reject that love, or else it isn't love at all. Let me give you a simple illustration. You guys that are around me, you know I have two kids that I love and would give my life for. Try to live for them daily, but I'd give my life in a moment's notice if it meant protecting them or saving their life. I want to ask you a simple illustration. What would bring more honor to me as a dad? That Morgan and Bradley simply obey just for the fact that I'm making them, or because they chose to do so? Isn't that an honor? Isn't that a love? Isn't that true love that they have a choice and that they come to me and say, we love you, we honor you, we respect you because you're our father, and we come willingly? Man, that's so much better than having to put that fist down and say, no, you're going to do this. Listen, there's moments that has to happen, and I'm sure we felt that at times God has done that in our life, but man, isn't it great that we have a choice to come to him as well as he calls us? That's true love. Now, here's why I'm talking choice this morning. I want to tell you something beautiful that happened last week, standing about right here on number 18. Thank you, Peyton Manning. So standing right here last week, we had a new friend. If you were here last week, raise your hand for me if you was here last week or you got to see it or anything. We were talking about, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. You remember that last week? I said, why not now? I had a dear friend, a new friend that came with tears in his eyes standing right here. And here was his exact words. I'll quote him word for word because I will never forget it. And I needed it last week. He needed it last week. He said, I don't know if anyone else heard it, but in my heart, I bowed my knee to Jesus today for the first time. That's what it's about. That choice of saying, I'm intersected with this message of hope and freedom, and I choose to bow the knee now. Here's why I mentioned that love is a choice, because I'm just going to bet that my new friend isn't the only one. I bet there's others here this morning that have never made that choice for the first time, that beautiful choice. He's not going to force you. True love gives an option to love them back. I just want to share a few verses and recap in closing. I'm just going to read these and pray. But in case you've missed it, man, John 1-3 has some powerful moments of choice offered to us in true love. I want to read these to you and then I'll close. John 1:12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You know, this morning you can be a son or daughter. All you have to do is receive him. All you have to do is believe. Just like my friend last week, I bow the knee today. Or maybe we take the words of John the Baptist in 1:29 when he says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin in the world." Will you trust that he is a Lamb of God that takes away even your sin? By the way, for you this morning, that I know it probably sounds so humble to say, "Oh, but he can't choose me." Can I tell you that that's really arrogant to just say, "Oh, not my sin. My sin's so special, Jesus can't even." For all who would believe, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Or maybe we take Jesus' words in John 3 when he's talking to a man, Nicodemus, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We know John 3:16, but what about 3:14? As Jesus is still in that conversation, and if you remember, he's talking about Moses lifting up the bronze serpent. He says, "Just like that, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Right into that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Can I tell you some good news this morning? I've yet to meet somebody that's not a whoever. That means you. If you got a pulse this morning, you're hearing me with ears this morning, your heart is speaking, and that Holy Spirit is drawing, you're a whoever. If you call on him, I believe you'll be saved. 3:18. "Whoever believes in him is not condemned." If you believe. And then I'll close with this. 3:36. "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life." Can I tell you this morning that I believe that we all come in bondage in some form or fashion, no matter if we know him or not. But can I tell you the good news, my brothers and sisters, you don't have to be. He came to bring freedom and to bring life, and life abundantly, if you just bow the knee. I believe there's a choice and you can make it. I want to read it again. Jesus' core statement, his mission, his mandate to come and redeem mankind. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." There's good news this morning. "He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recover sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Will you pray with me today? Father, I love these folks. God, I love these people. But Father, not nearly as much as you. You came, and you came to set people free. There's people here this morning, I know, because I'm one of them. Bondage happens in my life to sin and pride and still feeling like religious works. So would you set us free this morning? Anywhere that we're in bondage, will you set us free? Some, for the first time, like my friend, my new brother last week, I bowed my knee and my heart to Jesus today. If there's somebody here, they don't even have to tell me about it, but would you speak that to hearts this morning that have never done that? We simply bow the knee. True love offers a choice to accept or reject that love. Will we accept this morning? Enter in by your grace, your mercy. Kneel down, just a sinner, and stand up, a son or daughter, welcomed at the King of Kings table. It's beautiful. It's good news, and it's available for all. I don't care what they've done, what they're doing, or what they will do. Jesus, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Church, if we're in bondage this morning to anything our world is throwing at us, fear, chaos, anxiety, worry, pride, any of these things, Jesus, would you set us free from that? We need you. Our world needs you, and God, you have left us here to be a shining example of love to our world that is filled with so many emotions right now. Let us be love and your grace and your mercy. Bring people into the family. Use us in the process, and that this parking lot, no matter who comes, no matter what condition, no matter what shape, that they are always intersected in their life with the good news that you have come to set the captives free. We believe that. We'll stake our lives on it. We love you and we need you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. No heroes for selling. You bought one, better keep your receipts.